Well, good morning. Good to be with you again. And I brought Russ with me today, and I'm not going to say much about Russ at all, other than he finds it very anxious being here, but I'm glad he came. So just go easy with him afterwards. But good to see you, Russ. So, for those, I'm sure everybody knows who I am. I've been here before. So I work with the Good Soil Trust. And we've got a couple of houses, and our hearts are to see people move forward. And obviously we're a Christian organisation, and we're just demonstrating the heart and love of Jesus towards people. And we're hitting the springtime, really. So there's lots of growing going on at the farm that we've got. So we're planting lots of crops. We've just had a number of lambs born as well, so it's been a busy time for us. And here I am going into my farming skills, of which I've got very little of, but I'm just saying these things that are happening, not knowing much about them myself. So hopefully on the field there'll be an explosion of growth, and I have to say it's always an exciting time of year, and quite a rewarding time as well, as we start to eat and sell our produce. So I'm sure there are some open days coming up. I'll get those over to you at some point. If anybody wants to pop over and see where we're at, see what we do, come over and see us, and the real farmers amongst you can offer us some advice. So anyway, this morning I just wanted to have a little look at Acts 4, and I've given the heading this morning of our participation in the gospel. And obviously we've just read chapter 4, but what's happened before that, previously in Acts, is we've got the Holy Spirit. Well, Jesus has ascended to heaven. The Holy Spirit has come upon the disciples and other people, and the church, the birth of the church, has just taken place. And it was an amazing time, the coming of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus had been with people. He'd been preaching and sharing and many miracles, but the disciples had seen Jesus, been with him, but now at the time of Pentecost, they've got the presence of God within them. The presence of God is now within them. And we're just going to have a look at chapter 4. We're not going to have a look at the whole thing. There's just one verse in there that I want us to look at today. Because Peter and John have just been involved in the healing of a lame man outside the temple. And it's caused a little bit of a stir. And in fact, the big guns from the temple have come out. They don't know what to make of it, because there's something going on within the area, that 5,000 people have come into a personal relationship with Jesus. And there is a stirring there. And what I want to focus on is verse 13, actually, in that. And it says this: "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus." Okay, and in the earlier on in Acts, when the Holy Spirit had come upon the disciples, that some people were accusing the disciples of being drunk. And it's an interesting thought, isn't it, that I don't know whether you've ever been accused of being drunk on Jesus, okay, to people, but it's interesting. But there was lots of stuff going on. Some people were amazed, some people were perplexed, and some people were critical about what was going on. But that line I've just read, they recognized that they had been with Jesus. I was wondering what that actually meant. What does that mean, that they recognized that these men had been with Jesus? Because I was considering Matthew, when you look at Matthew 26, when Peter denied Jesus, we see that there was a group of people there that said, "You were with Jesus, weren't you?" And Peter said, no, not me. And he denied Jesus three times, didn't he? So I was wondering What does it mean when they said they recognise? Is it the same thing? But so I had a little look at the original text. Now, I don't often do this, but I have to say I got excited by it. Because the word for recognised in the Bible here is, excuse my pronunciation here, is epigenosko or something like that. I'm only going to say it once. That's it. But what that means, it's actually stronger than the word knowing. Okay? And what it actually means is knowing full well, but with participation. Knowing full well, but with participation. So whenever you see a word like that, it's good to see where else it is in Scripture. Now, it's not this. So in John 8, verse 32, it says this. It says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So that's just a statement about you will know the truth. But if you go to 1 Timothy 4, I've got it here. 1 Timothy 4, verse 3, it says this. Forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. So it's a participation in the object that it's about. Okay, so it's knowing full well, but participating in it. So when we go to back to our original verse here in Acts, which I've now lost, it talks about them recognized. They were recognized with Jesus. Not only were they physically recognized, but that they saw that these men participated with Jesus. Okay? They were participating with the gospel message. Not that they just knew it, but they fully knew it, and they were participating in it. Okay, so I take it with a chair. I know that chair will take my weight, but I fully know when I sit on it, and it does. I'm participating in my knowledge. So when it says they recognized that they had been with Jesus, they knew that these people were participating. And it excited me, that did. I don't know whether it excites you. But it excited me that these people were recognizing that these disciples had been with Jesus and were participating with him. Because what had happened to these men? You know, you think of Peter and John, you know, about 50, 60 days earlier, 3 months before, they're legging it. They're running away. Peter's denying him, okay? And they're all in a mess. But then 3 months later, we read in that verse that these men were seen as bold. And the big guns in the synagogue were out and thought, what's happened to these uneducated, sorry to use the word thick, you know, you could translate it to that, couldn't you? They're thinking, these uneducated, thick, common men, they're coming out with something that is extraordinary. Okay? And what's happened to them? What's happened to them? And we're just singing in that song, isn't it? It's the power of the resurrection and the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? And they knew more about Jesus probably in an hour after Pentecost than they did walking with him. Okay? Because it was no longer outside, but the presence of God was within them. It was now part of them. Okay? And here we see the birth of the church, and we see them preaching and bearing witness to the gospel. Not only do they know the gospel, but they're participating in the gospel. And that's exciting, isn't it? So they recognize that they've been with Jesus. So if I said to you, and I'll throw this out, what is the gospel? I know it's a big question. What would you say the gospel is? Anybody fancy a stab? Good news? Yeah? Good news? Good news of who? The good news of Jesus. Okay? And why isn't it the good news of Dave? What's so special about Jesus? I don't mean that in an irreverent way, but I'm just trying to pull information from you. What's the good news of Jesus? Okay, he died. Before he died, what did he do? He lived. He was born, wasn't he? Okay. He was born. He lived. He had a message. He died. Anything else? Resurrected. Okay. So when we're talking about the gospel, we've got some really important principles. And if we are partakers in that gospel, we have to experience some of those same things. So you mentioned death. We've got to look at that. We've got to look at birth. And we've also got to look at resurrection. Okay? And these were things that happened to the disciples. Okay? What happened to Peter and John, who were runners away three months ago, is they'd been born again. They'd had new birth. Okay, and when we look at the miracle birth of Jesus, what happened there? The miracle birth of Jesus was Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit and gave birth to Jesus, which was a miracle birth. Okay? And I want to say to you, if you're born again, there's a miracle happened with you. Okay? And I want to encourage us in this gospel, because it's important that we remember these things. What's happened to you if you're born again as a believer of Jesus Christ? Okay? Because let me tell you that the two greatest events ever in history, we looked at some events in history, didn't we, earlier on. But the two greatest events in history is one, the fall of Adam, and two is the cross of Christ. Okay? So by birth, every single one of us was a sinner by nature. We committed acts of sin, we're under sin, and because of Adam, we're imputed into sin. Okay? So we are sinners. But when we're reborn, because of the cross of Jesus, our DNA is changed. This is exciting, I have to say. Our DNA has changed. We're no longer of Adam, but we come under Christ. Okay? So we're forgiven and we're adopted as sons and daughters of Jesus. Okay? So we're transferred from sin into righteousness. Now, for years, you may have heard, I hear this phrase, and I have to say, it gets on my nerves, and I feel like challenging people on it, you know, that you're sinners saved by grace. I want to say, when you become born again, you're no longer a sinner, okay? You're transferred into a place of righteousness by the power of Jesus. Read Romans, it talks about righteousness, a gift of righteousness. You are made righteous because of him and by Jesus, his death and resurrection. Okay? So you're a saint. Okay? These are really important for us to understand, because we're a saint, we're accepted, and whereby we walk with God. Okay? We walk with God. And I want to say to you, you know, when I say that you are made righteous, you are made righteous. Okay? And the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within you. Okay, and this is really important, because it doesn't mean that we won't sin, because we can do. But sin is from outside of us. Okay? And if we're righteous and walking with God, okay, sin doesn't reign in us. Okay, so when I look at Adam and Eve, when they sinned, sin was outside of them, wasn't it? They were made in the image of God, and they were deceived by the serpent, and it caused them to fall. So we are righteous. But now, you know, when you think of the temptations of Jesus, he taught us how to overcome. And, you know, some of the issues that we have is we don't think we're righteous, and we get into law and all that sort of stuff, but we've been made righteous, and God gives us the tools to overcome. And by his power, we can overcome. overcome the temptations of Satan and the things of life. And I just want to encourage us that we are born again. And let's keep seeking him, keep walking with him. And don't be deceived. By his power and his grace, don't be deceived, just like the Corinthian church. And that's exciting, isn't it? And we're partakers of that. That we, as believers, we have new birth. We're born again. Here we see the disciples. New birth, new people. Okay? And we were mentioned as well, the death. Jesus died on the cross for us. He took all our guilt, all our shame, all our sin, and he was made a sacrifice for us. Okay? That stuff that we wince about, Jesus at the cross takes it from us. Okay? And I wonder whether you ever see, you know, I came across this quote the other day, which I found really interesting. Jesus was the deadest man who ever lived. He was the deadest man who ever lived. And what I mean by that is he was dead to money. He was dead to sin. He was dead to pride. He was dead to self. And he put himself in a place of self-denial and God consciousness. Okay, he did the will of the Father. And, you know, it's I don't want to get legalistic on us here at all, because this isn't my issues. I'm not putting stuff on you, but when you're walking in the Spirit of God, you've got to be looking at stuff that is going to compromise you and trouble you, and to kill some stuff off. And constantly, as we walk through this world, we've just got to be careful of stuff. And there's warnings, isn't there, of selfishness. Okay, and self-righteousness. Okay, and you know, when I think of Adam and Eve, go back to Adam and Eve, when they sinned, what did they first do? They wanted to sort out their issues with fig leaves. Okay, and that was a bit of self-righteousness. We'll sort this. But God came along and covered them totally with shed blood. There had to be a sacrifice to deal with those issues. And often we try and sort issues. And we've got a Father God who's saying, come to me. Come to me, I'll sort them. Don't be proud. Don't be self-righteous. Okay, I'm talking to myself here. Okay? Because in that, we all need a Saviour. We all need a Saviour, don't we? And in that, we experience... We too have to be crucified with Christ. Okay? And these are good things. These are good things. And, you know, when I look at that, they recognize that they had been with Jesus. These disciples had recognized their new birth. They realized that they needed to die to stuff, the death, and they were partakers of Christ in his death. But also, the exciting one is they were partakers in the resurrection. Okay? Jesus rose again. Okay, on the third day, he rose again. He conquered death and he overcame. Okay? And, okay, when you read about Jesus before his death, he's constantly talking about the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom, which is a spirit-filled life. Christ in us. Christ in us, poured out for us. Okay? And it's interesting, isn't it, when you read that verse, that they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, and they were astonished. And they recognized that they've been with Jesus. And that's my prayer for every single one of us, wherever we are. This wasn't taking place in the synagogue. This was taking place out where people were. Okay? And when you rub shoulders with other people, okay, when we're partakers of the gospel of Jesus, the birth, the death, and the resurrection, people will be astonished. And they'll be as surprised by Jesus' presence within us. That's a real challenge, isn't it? Okay? That's why I've gone through the birth, the death, and the resurrection. Because we have to keep reminding ourselves of the wonders and the processes that Jesus has gone through for us to partake in, and then for us to influence others. Okay? And I just think that's an amazing responsibility. I don't know much about Tom. I'm not going to embarrass him here, but you know, he's obviously works in business. I heard he played cricket yesterday. Okay, and I'm not saying he's going to be speaking about Jesus all that time, but people can be astonished as he rubs shoulders with people. What's going on with this chap? Is he different? The same with you, but the same with me. But the trouble is, we can be robbed by ourselves not reminding ourselves of the gospel and participating in it. We can think wrong things. I'm not righteous. I've done this thing, I've let myself down, but we are made righteous through Christ. And it's important that we keep reminding ourselves of these things. Okay? So that we can be bold. We are full of the Spirit of Jesus. And we are impacting people around us. Because I have to say, you know, when we're looking at some of those things, it's pretty depressing at the moment, isn't it? Life is pretty depressing. And there are lost people who are looking for stuff. They're looking for the answer. And I have to say, I grow in confidence in the gospel. That the gospel is the only thing. It's the only way that people can be saved and make sense of this crazy, crazy world we live in. This crazy, crazy world. And that's my prayer for you, even in this community here. Okay? When they saw the boldness of Twinning Chapel and perceived that they were uneducated common men and women, okay? They were astonished and they recognized that they'd been with Jesus. What a statement that is. Okay? That's my prayer for myself. And do you know what? I have to keep reminding myself of the birth, the death, and the resurrection. I have to go through those processes for myself, because the lies that go on in here are just crazy, you know. And I just have to keep coming back to the gospel and to Jesus and what he's done for me. And that verse is speaking to me, and I want to look at it more, and I want to impact the people that I see around me, okay? And share the gospel, that other people may also be born again, be able to die to some stuff and live the resurrected life. What do you reckon? I'm not talking about my talk. I'm talking about the matter. Any thoughts on that? As we're few in number, what do you reckon?
It's extremely important that we keep on the same message, which hasn't changed for 2,000 years.
Yeah.
It's so important.
It is, isn't it? When you think of the fast-moving world we live in, and there's so much change, isn't there? So much change and changes in thought processes, in how things are done, and yet the gospel message has just remained the same. Doesn't need any tweaking, does it? Doesn't need any, we need to change this bit. It's just absolutely rock solid. And everything else you see around you falling and mistakes, but the gospel is just absolutely amazing. Thank you, Clive. Yeah.
It's a challenge.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a challenge, isn't it? It really is a challenge. And you know, you see people, you know, said about 5,000 came, isn't it? And you know, I don't want to say anything. You know, we can concentrate on the big here, can't we? Of, well, somebody was healed. But I want to say that the gospel message is almost degree by degree with people. You know, when you meet people and you play cricket with them and all that, it's just slowly people see stuff and see how different you are and all that. You know, so I just encourage you in this community as well that be bold, because the Spirit of God is within you. Seek the Spirit, His leading, His guiding, and put yourself in some vulnerable situation. I have to say, with the residents in the houses, some people come up to me with big issues, and I'll be honest, I haven't got a clue. I really haven't got a clue. But what I'll do is ask, come on, let's look at some stuff, let's pray, because I want to see the glory of God. And this is what will happen. It's not about changing situations, it's about changing the hearts and souls of people to look at things differently. I'll leave it there. Is that okay? Amen. And let me just pray. I'll just pray before we finish. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your gospel is full of power. Lord, I thank you it's not about our power, but it's about your power. And Lord, help us, Lord, just to be vessels for you. Lord, I'm just encouraged by that sentence that they were uneducated common men. It was nothing of man, but it was all of you. Help us just to remind ourselves of your gospel message, Lord, of how you saved us, you rescued us. We can have new life in you, and we can live a resurrected life. Lord, help us, I pray, each day to be filled, like Peter was, with your Spirit, to be God conscious in all we do, and Lord, to be lights for you in and where we are. And I pray that people will be able to recognize that we've been with Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for your power that changes lives. We thank you for that you meet people wherever they are, and you change people's histories. And you forgive us, and in you is life. Thank you, Jesus. I pray a blessing on this place and everyone in it. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Lord, help us to go to you and to receive our fill from you. Encourage us through your word and by your Spirit, I pray, each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.